कार्यम् अचमानीयम् च गन्धम् सुमनसो शतां धूप दीपोपहायनि दद्यान् मे श्रदयार्चकः आज्यमाचमनीयम् च गन्धम् सुमनसो शतां धूपदीपोपहायानि दद्यान् मे श्रदयार्चकः भाज्यम् आचमनीयम् च गन्धम् सुमनसो शतां धूपदीपोपहायानि दद्यान् मे श्वरार्चकः पाजम् वाटर् फार् वाशिङ्ग् द फीट् आचमनीयम् वाटर् फार् वाशिङ्ग् द माौत् च एण्ड् गन्धम् फ्रेग्रेन्सस् सुमनसा फ्लावर्स् अक्षतान् Unbroken grains, dupa, incense, deepa, lamps, upaharyani, such items of paraphernalia. Dadyat, he should present. Me, to me, sradaya, with faith, archakaha, the worshipper. The translation, the worshipper should faithfully present me with water for washing my feet and mouth, fragrant oils, flowers, and unbroken grains, along with incense, lamps, and other offerings. Go to the next verse. Gudapaya sasarpimsi saskulya pupa modakan samyavadadi supamscha Naivedyam sati kalpayet. Within his means, a devotee should arrange to offer me sugar candy, sweet rice, ghee, shaskuli, rice flour cakes, apupa, various sweet cakes, modaka, steamed rice flour dumplings filled with sweet coconut and sugar. Samyava, wheat cakes made with ghee, milk, and covered with sugar and spices. Yogurt, vegetable soups, and other palatable foods. Purport, one can acquire detailed information of proper and improper foods to offer in deity worship by consulting Sri Hari Bhakti Vilas, 8th Vilas, verses 152 to 164. So go to the next one. Abhyangon mardana darsha danta dava bishesh sechanam Anadya Gita Nityani Parvani Sur Utanvaham. On special occasions and daily if possible, the deity should be massaged with ointment, shown a mirror, offered a eucalyptus stick for brushing his teeth, bathed with five kinds of nectar, offered all kinds of opulent foods, and entertained with singing and dancing. Purport. Srila Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur describes the process of deity worship as follows. First, the deity's teeth should be clean and his body massaged with fragrant oil and rubbed with vermilion, camphor powder, and so forth. Then he should be bathed with fragrant water and the five kinds of nectar. Next, one should offer valuable silk garments and jewel ornaments to the deity, smear his body with sandalwood paste, offer him garlands and other gifts. After this, one should hold a mirror in front of the deity, then offer fragrant oil, flowers, incense, lamps, and scented water for refreshing the mouth. One should offer all types of palatable foods, fragrant water, betel nuts, garlands, arti lamps, and a bed to rest on, and so on. One should also fan the deity and perform instrumental music, singing and dancing. This deity worship must be performed on special occasions like religious holidays, or else, if one can afford it, daily. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, Ekadasi is an appropriate day for performing special deity worship. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gananangana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militandena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svavarandigam Adadanas Chanandandai Vidamya Chepuna Puna Simar Rupa Padam Bhujo Dulisyam Janma Janmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I was born in the darkest of ignorance. My spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. Therefore I offer my respectful obeisances at his lotus feet. Oh, so Rasanandini is back, huh? I was just asking about you last night. Okay. So this is a very interesting chapter. Because here, Krishna is describing himself, how to worship himself. That is, every day we're reading this, it's just the most amazing thing. How Krishna is describing the process of deity worship, so how we're supposed to do it. And he himself is the deity, so he's describing exactly how we should perform this worship. And he gives so many wonderful details and describes so many wonderful preparations. What was this one? Modaka, steamed rice flour dumplings filled with sweet coconut and sugar. Sounds like something that my driver's mother makes. It's a specialty of Orissa. So many wonderful things described here. And it's interesting, he mentioned specifically using eucalyptus twig for brushing the Lord's teeth. Because I think Australia is very famous. I think the source of all the eucalyptus trees in the world is Australia, is it? I think it's native from here and it's spread all over the world. Am I right? I think there's... So anyway, he mentions specifically eucalyptus, or Biswanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions this. And he describes five kinds of nectar. It's called Panchamrit. See, whenever we do a big festival, every day we get Charnamrit. But on special festival days, that is not Charnamrit, that is Panchamrit. This is Panchamrit. It's composed of five different things. Actually, there's two. There's Panchagavya and Panchamrit. Panchagavya. Gavya, of course, means cow, or coming from the cow, pertaining to cow, gavya. So, from cow we get milk, yogurt, ghee, cow urine, and cow dung. This is pancha gavya. Of course, ordinary persons, they're very shocked when they hear that we use cow dung and cow urine. But we see, even in the very beginning of Krishna's Leela, when after he killed Putana, then Madhya Yasoda bathed him with cow urine and cow dung. And even she whisked him around with a whisk made from the tail hairs of a cow, like that, and even the dust raised by the hoofs of the cows. So all these things are very, very special. That even the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself is bathed with these things. And most people are very shocked when they hear these things, but actually they're finding that cow urine has many, many wonderful properties. In fact, I take every day. It's very good for many, many different diseases and different problems, bodily problems. And cow dung, even Prabhupada describes that modern medical science has discovered that there's many antiseptic properties. Actually, even in old times, people, even in America, I remember people telling me that their grandfathers used to, they go visit their grandfather on the farm, and they got a little cut, and immediately grandfather would smear some cow dung on the cut, and it would never get infected. So everything about the cow is very wonderful. So this is Panchagavya. Then there's Panch Amrit, the five types of nectars. So again, we have milk, then we have ghee, we have yogurt, we have sugarcane juice, and honey. These are the five types of nectars. So when we bathe the Lord like this, that what we get, that is called Panchamrit, that is not Charnamrit. We're always anxious after the big Abhishek ceremony to get Charnamrit, but that's not Charnamrit, that's Panchamrit. Every day we get Charnamrit, this is Panchamrit. So, this one goes to great detail here. One should offer valuable silk garments. And jeweled ornaments. And one should hold a mirror in front of the deity. All the things we do, this is amazing. Vishnu Chakravarti is mentioning all these things. Then offer fragrant oil, flowers, incense, lamps, scented water for refreshing the mouth. All types of palatable foods, fragrant water, betel nuts, garlands, artit lamps, a bed to rest on, and so on. One should also fan the deity and perform instrumental music, singing and dancing. Of course, this is our favorite, singing and dancing before the Lord. And here Sridhara Swami mentions that Ekadasi is an appropriate day for performing special deity worship. So this deity worship is very important for us who are trapped inside these material bodies. As I'm remembering now the whole quote of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says, the whole world is attracting us through our senses. So unless we can be attracted by our senses to the Lord, then we're in a very awkward position. Everything is, our senses are being attracted by all different types of things. So our mission is somehow to become attracted to the Lord. So if we cannot become attracted to Him through our senses, then we're in a very difficult position. So this process of deity worship is very, very scientific and very, very natural process. We don't tell you just to close your eyes and, or actually the yogis, they keep their eyes half open, half closed. If your eyes are kept open all the way, then you'll be distracted by so many things. And if you close them all the way, Prabhupada said, I've seen so many yogis. So half open, half closed, staring at the tip of the nose. So we're not telling you to do like that. Instead, we're telling you to open your eyes wide, but what to see? See the beautiful form of the Lord. Just like now in February, from Chopati, they will come to Barsana, they will eye camp. So they're helping everybody to, their eyes have been blocked by cataracts. Somehow this is a very common problem in India, is cataracts. So then they always give them Back to Godhead or some other book, so that once they get those eyes, instead of just watching the TV and seeing Sridevi and Karina and so many people, they can see the beautiful pictures in the Back to Godhead They can come and see the beautiful. We want to see something beautiful. So here we're saying, don't stop seeing beautiful things, but see the beautiful form of the Lord. Every day, I'm simply amazed to see how beautifully decorated Shri Sri Gornitai and Radha Ballabh and Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. So we don't say, don't see. We say, see the beautiful form of the Lord. We don't say that you stop speaking. Yogis are sitting there, they're not speaking at all. Sometimes we find so many Moni Babas. They don't speak at all. They have the little chalkboard and they write everything out, but they never speak. And actually we find so many Moni Babas now speaking, because previously they were doing some Mon Vrat, so they became known as Moni Baba. So even now they're still talking. They're again talking. They're still called Moni Baba. So we don't say don't speak, but you speak about the glories of the Lord, the instructions of the Lord, just like Bhagavad Gita, that is Lord's instructions. Or here, usually Srimad Bhagavatam is instructions about the Lord or descriptions of the Lord. And here, in this particular portion, Lord is giving descriptions Himself or giving instructions Himself. So one is glorification of the Lord, other is instructions of the Lord. So we should speak these things and speak the instructions of the Lord, speak the glories of the Lord, speak about the purpose of life. That is the whole purpose of speaking. Just like I remember when I first became a devotee, that person who first made me a devotee is very famous here in Australia, Bhavananda. So I told him, I said, but Bhavananda, isn't all talking nonsense? And Bhavananda said, yes, you're right. All talking is nonsense. Unless you're chanting Hare Krishna or you're talking about Krishna. That is a transcendental sound vibration that will elevate your consciousness beyond this material world. He is a very attractive preacher. That is a transcendental sound vibration that will elevate your consciousness beyond this material world. And I was so happy, actually, because my friend and I, previously his name was Sunshine, those from the 60s, you understand what that means. But anyway, he later became Srivas. So we used to sit and speculate at the speed of mind. We were living in the mountains above Boulder, Colorado, in the Rocky Mountains in America. And we would just speculate at the speed of mind, and we'd always come to the conclusion that it's beyond words. And then we look at each other totally frustrated that if it's beyond words, why did you say that? You know? Or we get into a big argument, you know, in our speculations at the speed of mind, and then we just say, well, there's nothing to be said. And then again we'd be frustrated, then why did you say that? So, and I knew that I wasn't going to stop talking, as I'm famous for talking, so even before as a devotee, people told me, you don't tell stories, you tell movies. So, as soon as he told that all talking is nonsense unless you're chanting Hare Krishna, or you're talking about Krishna, then it was ecstasy. Oh, I can still keep talking, now I can tell stories about Krishna. In fact, the first story I heard, because they had this picture of Lord Nrisimhadev. Somehow we always had a picture of Lord Nrisimhadev in the temple, almost all our temples, I don't see. You know, you have one on the altar, but somehow I always remember in the old days we had, it's like L.A. Temple, you walked in, it was huge, real gory one, you know, with, you know, Lord Nrisimhadev ripping Hiranyakashipu apart and putting testings around his neck. I don't know what the guests thought, but anyway. Of course, the same thing I could say about myself, because that was the only, I saw this picture and they told me the story, so that was the only story I knew. So anybody who came in the temple, I said, oh, this is Lord Nrisimhadev, and I'd tell the whole story about Lord Nrisimhadev. So we don't say don't talk, we say talk about essential thing. Talk about Krishna's instructions, Krishna's glories, the purpose of life. Talk about these things. And we don't say don't smell, but you smell the nice incense and flowers. Just like in the old Hare Krishna people film, you know, it says one sees a beautiful flower, he thinks, let me offer it to my girlfriend. But in Krishna consciousness, one thinks, oh, what a beautiful flower, Let me offer it to Krishna. Some of you here weren't here. Some of you weren't here yesterday, and I was telling the story about another story about Bhavananda. He told me personally that one time Prabhupada came back from his walk in L.A. And of course, you remember there was that from Leela Mrit, there was a 108 rose bush rose garden. So Bhavananda plucked one of those roses, and he handed it to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada looked at this rose. He said, "This rose is very nice, but a rose in the material world, in the spiritual world, it is eternal. Here you must know everything is temporary." He said, "Actually, this is a prison house. And everyone must know that it is a prison house. We're behind the bars of birth, death, disease, and old age. Now somebody may think that I have nice view from my prison house window, but he's a prisoner. Even his view is nice, he's still a prisoner. If he doesn't know that he's in a prison house, he's a rascal, number one." And then Prabhupada looked at that rose. He said, "But a rose in the spiritual world, it is eternal." And then he looked at all the devotees, said, "Some rascals are going to find out." Some rascals are going to find out. So we don't say, "Don't smell," but we say, offer the flower first to Krishna. You offer nice fragrances to Krishna, just like every morning they come around and smear us with the fragrance that they offered to the Lord. So we don't say, "Don't smell." You smell those things that have been offered to the Lord. We don't say that you just fast. You stop eating. Or you eat very little. No, we say, first of all, you have to give up eating all nonsense things. Warmed over dead bodies and all kinds of other nasty things like that. But you eat nice fruits and vegetarian dishes and sweets, rasgulla, sandesh, pakoras, samosas. But first, you offer them to the Lord. So we don't say don't eat, but you give up eating nonsense things, and then you only eat those things that have been offered to the Lord. And even I have practical experience. I remember I went to but the temple was already there. I went to become temple president in a place called Portland, Oregon, in the northwest corner of America. And one devotee, Bhagavatacharya, he came there with his wife, Kusumapita, to assist in the preaching there. So until they found a place to live, they were living with Kusumapita's grandmother. And she wasn't a particularly religious lady. She didn't go to church or anything like that. She was, in name a Christian, but she didn't go to church. She wasn't particularly religious. So somewhere in their in her living room, they made a little altar, and they used to cook and offer everything to Krishna on that little altar. And of course, they always gave Granny some of the Mahaprasad. So one day, they came home, and they found her on the phone to one of her old lady friends, and she said, "And you know, Mabel, food even tastes better when it's offered to Krishna." Even very non-religious woman, old lady, even she could perceive that somehow or other something's happened. This food has been offered to Krishna, it tastes better. So we don't say stop eating, but you eat nice Krishna prasadam. We don't say don't dance, but you give up all this disco dancing, break dancing, all these things. I've been in India so long, even I don't know what is breakdancing. I only heard these names. But Prabhupada has given us a wonderful step. Like you used to have so many steps, the Bugulu and this one and that one. Anyway, Prabhupada has given us a Swami step. You raise your hands, you put one foot like this and one foot like that. And in Leelamrita we can read about how one time one lady came from Vrindavan. Oh, what is her name? She was one of the competitors for the land where Krishna Balaram Mandir is. And her ashram is just down the street with beautiful deity of Govardhan Nath. Anyway, she came to visit L.A. Temple. And then they had kirtan, and suddenly she began dancing. And the dancing, she began jumping. And then suddenly Prabhupada was jumping. And nobody'd ever seen this. We just knew, go like this, very staid and stolid, ding, ding, ding. We just danced very conservatively. Huh? And suddenly, this lady started jumping up and down. Then Prabhupada also raised his hands. He began jumping up and down. Immediately, they got on the phone to New York. He said, Prabhupada's jumping. He said, what? Prabhupada's jumping. So a whole new era of kirtan was opened up. So we don't say don't dance, but you dance before the beautiful deity of the Lord. And we don't say you stop feeling nice things. You feel the soft lotus feet of the Lord. We're so lucky when we get to do deity worship and we massage the lotus feet of the Lord and massage his whole body. Here it's describing with fragrant oils. Here specifically mentions, Biswanath Chakravarti mentions, you know, with vermilion and camphor powder massaging the body of the Lord. Or if we can't approach the Lord, at least we can touch the feet of the devotees of the Lord. So we don't say to stop touching things, but you touch the feet of the Lord, you touch the feet of the devotees like this. And this way all of our senses are directed to the Lord. Therefore this is a very easy and natural process. Therefore Bhaktivinoda said the whole world is attracting us through our senses. Unless we're able to be attracted to the Lord through our senses, then we're in a very awkward position. So this is very, very natural and very, very scientific process, how we engage all of our senses in the deity worship. In this way we become attracted to the Lord, which is our whole goal. That is the whole goal of our life, to again become attracted to the Lord and less attracted to this body and other people's bodies. So we become attracted to the beautiful form of the Lord in this way. So this is a very, very scientific process. And this process is totally spiritual activity. Just like here we're making garlands for the Lord in the Golok Dham, they're also making garlands for the Lord. Here we're cooking nice foodstuffs in the Golok, they're also cooking. So this activity is completely spiritual. One is going on here, one is going on there, but the activity is the same. So the activity has absolutely nothing to do with this material world. It's completely spiritual activity. That is the beauty of Krishna consciousness, that the means and the end are the same. We're doing all of this deity worship. It's not that that's just a means to eventually get to some end where we merge into the divine light. No, now we're doing deity worship. When we go back to the spiritual world, all these things that we learned here, we'll be able to do directly for the Lord. Sometimes people, they carry big signs around, prepare to meet your maker. But if he came, they wouldn't have any idea what to do. We immediately know what to do. We get out the artik tray and do artik and offer the incense, and we know how many circles to do and everything we know. We're prepared. We're prepared. They wouldn't have any idea what to do. Like that. So this is very, very wonderful natural process. The means and the ends are the same. We're dancing and singing for the Lord here. We go to the Golok, we'll be dancing and singing for the Lord. We read in Krishna book how Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys are playing on flutes and dancing. So here we're also dancing. Sometimes people bring flutes and also play. And we're cooking nice things there in the spiritual world. So the end and the means is the same. Not that the impersonal, as they say, that they also worship the deity, but their idea is that eventually, Prabhupada said, you step on the head of the deity and you become God. But that is not our end. Our end is that now we're getting trained up how to serve the Lord. When we go back to the spiritual sky, we're already trained up. We'll be doing the same things, dancing and singing and cooking and chanting the glories of the Lord and smelling the incense offered to the Lord, the beautiful fragrance coming from Krishna's garland. Everything we're doing here, we'll be doing there. The means and the ends is exactly the same. So this way we become, actually, this position of the impersonalist, just think about it for 1 minute. They want to become God. But see the position of the devotee. We're coming every morning, we're seeing the beautiful form of the Lord with his beautiful eyes. I was told this is one of the first deities in the world to have the, or probably still the only one with shank eyes. I don't know anyone else has these nice shank eyes, very attractive. So we, and Gorni Tire, just exquisite. I mean, you people are so fortunate to be able to be the servants of these wonderful lords here. Hmm? And Jagannath always with such a big smile, always happy. So that's what we're seeing. Beautifully decorated and beautiful jewelry and beautiful flowers. We're seeing. Did you ever think about what Lord's seeing? All these crazy Kali Yuga inmates are coming here, all different shapes and forms. And that's what Lord is seeing. We're seeing something wonderful. Lord is seeing all these crazy Kali Yuga rejects coming and standing before Him, and half of them. Of course, we're being trained up not to ask Krishna for material things, but half of them are coming in and, you know, please let me get a job and like this and that. So, is Lord's position better or devotee's position is better? So the Mayavad position is much lower, you know. We want to be the devotee of the Lord, so we see like this, you know. If you become the Lord, then you have to look at that. Our Vaishnava philosophy is superior. We just want to become the devotee of the Lord and see Him and dance for Him and make wonderful foodstuffs for Him and taste His remnants. And so this is an amazing chapter, Krishna Himself describing how to worship the deity. So is there any questions?
You mentioned something particular about the eyes that is said.
Yeah, these are conchal eyes. They're made from conchal, this beautiful, nice, curved, beautiful lotus petal eyes. I'm very happy to come here. I've always seen the pictures of Radha Balav, and I'm very happy that I can come here and get their darshan. It's always been fascinating to me, these deities. Just like the most amazing, I think, is Radharaman. If you've ever been to Radharaman temple, his eyes are the most amazing. Everything about Radharaman is amazing. Anybody's gotten darshan of Radharaman? So others, you have to go. Your life is 50% wasted if you don't see. But one thing you should never do is go to Jaipur and see Radha Govinda. Should never do that. Because you see my body here flapping around somehow or other, but I have been unable to bring my heart back from Radha Govinda's lotus feet. So if you go there, you will meet the same fate. So don't ever go there. Actually, when we go to Jaipur and see Radha Govinda, it's the most amazing experience. Because in the beginning, when we heard Prabhupada preaching about Krishna consciousness, you know, we had this idea that the whole of India is like this. There's a big temple in the middle of the city and everybody comes and chants for the deity and like that. And then we got off the plane in Delhi and Bombay and Calcutta and we said, what is this place? But then we came to Jaipur. Then we saw what Prabhupada was talking about. Here, everybody, a whole city loves Govindadev. And everybody has their particular artik. There's so many artiks all day long. Everybody has their particular artik that they come for. And it's not like there's a brahmachari ashram where they come out with the kartals and have the kirtan, you know. Just whoever shows up, they sing all these nice Brijbasi songs and nice, beautiful songs, and they always end with a maha mantra. If you go to any artik, you'll see at the end they always chant Hare Krishna. And everybody's just dancing. You see all the Rajasthani ladies with their beautiful, colorful Rajasthani saris, so many bangles, and they're just spinning around and dancing for Govindadev, so much love in their eyes. And there's always some guy with a big pink turban on top of his old guy, and he's just talking to Govindadev. Nobody knows what he's saying, but he's just there talking. And the most amazing thing, nobody is buying Mahaprasad for himself. Everybody buys Mahaprasad and they stand around in the corners here and there distributing Mahaprasad to everyone. Radhe Govinda, Radhe Govinda, Radhe Govinda. Then we saw, that was what we thought the whole of India was like when we heard Prabhupada preaching. We were so disappointed till we found Jaipur. So the spontaneous devotion for the Lord is just is so amazing. And they're always improving. When they first came, you just had to stand in the hot sun. Now they have a nice, beautiful canopy over the darshan hall, and always doing something nice there, and always some lecture going on of Srimad Bhagavatam, and they have beautiful deity of Gornitai, not deity, but beautiful painting, huge painting of Gornitai on one side, and everybody's a huge Prikama hall, and everybody's going around doing Prikama, and you come in by Nityananda Mahaprabhu Dwar, and you come out by Gauranga Mahaprabhu Dwar. Nityananda Prabhu's gate and Mahaprabhu's gate. You come in by Nityananda Prabhu's gate, come out by Gauranga's gate. Like that. So this is a very wonderful example of deity worship that has captured the whole city. Everyone's captured. So I'm warning you, don't ever go there. And Govinda Dev is so beautiful. And now they've started this thing. It used to be just, you know, if you were some big donor or something, then you got to come in and take close-up darshan. But now they have a new thing. They're just pulling people off the Prikama Marga. They're going around doing Prikama. They pull you into the line, and you come right there, the Govinda Dev's lotus feet, and take darshan, and then they push you out, then they bring another. It's a very wonderful place. There you see the glories of deity worship. Sisi Radha Govinda Deva Ki Jai. Is there any other question? That a long time ago. Maybe I have to search the database or something. He said the whole world attracts us by through our senses, so unless we can be attracted to the senses through our senses to the Lord, we're in a very awkward position. I remember I was trained up as a Catholic, and they always said you always think of the Lord and always, you know, worship the Lord, but there's nothing practical how to do that. Here we have practical. We see the Lord, and throughout the day we can remember how the Lord was decorated. You should come to the temple and just study the decoration very nicely, and then you can, throughout the day, you can remember how beautifully the deity was decorated and what he was wearing today. Everything like that. This is a practical way how to always serve the Lord and remember the Lord. We're always taught you have to serve the Lord and always remember the Lord, but we have nothing to remember. So this is a very wonderful process. That is a problem. This is the criticism of the yogis and others, that you're just doing all these empty rituals, but we're going deep inside and discovering the truth. So it takes practice. We're always looking for the link that we can click on, you know. This modern age has destroyed us. We're not ready to do any work. We just think, you know, just like I gave a program in the youth forum in Punjabi Bagh in Delhi the other day, and everybody came up afterwards, and more or less the question they asked boiled down, what do you do about lust? What to do about lust? As if there's some link you can click on and it'll go away. You have to work. You have to work on it. You have to chant very sincerely. You have to worship the deity. You have to read. You have to study. Keep association with devotees. The same way, to keep from letting the deity worship, all these things, just become dry rituals. We have to concentrate, just like we're saying every day. And practically we do it just like a ritual, you know, that it is also offensive to become inattentive while chanting the holy name of the Lord. We just repeat it like it's a, you know, dry ritual. So we have to keep trying. Just like I remember when I was a little kid, I used to cut up all of my father's National Geographic magazines for my school projects and things like that. So now I'm talking about 50 years ago. So there was some article in one of them all about elephants in India, how they were using them. I don't think they used it anymore, but they used them for, in the railways. You know, they were pushing cars, they were loading things onto the cars. And it described how they train them. They take a young elephant and they put a great big peg, drive it into the ground, and they put a big rope around his foot. Yeah? And that young elephant, he just runs around and round and round and round and round till his ankle is raw. Then after a while, he figures out that once they put this thing on my foot, then I can't go anywhere. So he just stands. So now he's a huge elephant. He's lifting up logs. We'll just speak of pegs. He's lifting up logs onto the railway cars. He's pushing the railway cars. And they put a little tiny peg in the ground, put a little chain on his foot, and he just stands there. What is that little peg? It's nothing. He's lifting up logs. What is this peg in the ground? Nothing. But he gave up trying. So we always have to keep trying, keep endeavoring. Always trying. If you give up trying, then you're just like the elephant. Just standing there. So we're thinking, always hopeless. How will I ever get lust out of my heart? How will I ever get greed? How will I ever become enthusiastic? You just have to keep trying. Because all the time we're chanting and performing devotion, we're growing in devotional service. But if we give up trying, we won't know that actually we can just pick that peg out of the ground and throw it. So you have to keep trying. To keep trying, we have to keep association with devotees and study Prabhupada's books. And we'll get the enthusiasm to keep trying.
Especially with the process of deity worship, the festivals bring out the spontaneity. So, you know, we do our daily puja, but then when we have the festivals, then that's where we get the inspiration.
So if there's no more questions, we can bow down at the very soft and wonderful lotus feet of that great personality who's engaged us in the process of devotional service, deity worship. Srila Prabhupada ki.